what a great story this is. Jonathan Shupi has written a book that's really a combination of sports and redemption. The book is called A Chance to Win: Boyhood, Baseball, and the Struggle for Redemption in the Inner City. Jonathan, thanks for joining us. How are you, sir?
I'm very good, and thank you so much for having me.
I'm thrilled to have you. Now, my producer, Dan, told me something that I'm not going to say on the air because it would distress people. You're a St. Louis Cardinals fan, aren't you?
I am. I'm originally from St. Louis, yes.
Yeah.
My father is originally from Chicago. So that equals it out, I think.
And are they still playing? They still play ball, right, the Cardinals? Do they still make the Cardinals?
I think they did. I think they played yesterday, yes.
So they're still out there somewhere. That's good news.
Yes.
Jonathan, your story, and I'll be honest with you, I've not read the whole book. I've skimmed through. What a story this is. Even though it's your story, do you look back on it and say, I can't believe all this has happened to me?
Yes. It takes a very long time to produce a book like this. I learned the difficult way, but also in a way that makes me very proud to have accomplished it. I've known Rodney, the main character, the coach who was paralyzed in a drive-by shooting for almost 10 years now. And it was a very gradual process in which we kind of broke through in our relationship, and he started to do things that he wanted to, that would help him improve his life and his contribution to his community. And that was a very slow, gradual process, and it's been an unbelievable journey for me and for him.
Now, the guy we're talking about is a man named Rodney Mason. And how did you first hook up with Rodney Mason? What happened?
I was a crime reporter in Newark for the Star-Ledger, the local paper there. And I first met him when I was writing a story about shooting victims who do not die. And I was curious to investigate what those people go through, the people who survive. What do the survivors go through afterwards, and what do the survivors who don't get shot but who are the witnesses, the kids who live on blocks where a lot of this violence happens? And that brought me to Rodney, and that was the beginning of our relationship. And he was at the time he was in a wheelchair, having been paralyzed years before that in a drive-by, and he was going through a very deep depression. And I didn't know him very well at the time, but over the next couple of years, even after that initial story was printed, we kept in touch. And then several years after that, he let me know that he wanted to coach a baseball team. He had been a very good pitcher in high school before he left the game to deal drugs at a very young age. And I had to follow the story. Even hearing myself describe it to you right now reminds me of how compelling the story felt from the beginning. And so that was the beginning of a deeper relationship when I followed him as he tried to turn his life around and help some kids in his neighborhood by forming a baseball team in a place where not a lot of kids play baseball.
With that first encounter, Jonathan, when you first met Rodney Mason, you described him as depressed. Did you yourself, as you were looking at his circumstances, did you say to yourself, how could you go through these things and not be depressed? It almost would seem impossible to me to have the hand dealt to him and not be depressed.
That's exactly true. And I learned that even from a clinical sense, talking to the people who took care of him at the rehabilitative hospital where he went. He went to a world-renowned rehabilitative hospital after he was shot called Kessler. And this is the same place where Christopher Reeve went when he had that horse accident.
Yeah.
And I learned that no matter who you are, if you come from a very difficult circumstance, or if you injured yourself skiing or on the tennis court, you go through a process where you have to decide where your life is going to take you. And some people, they decide very quickly and they find meaning through spirituality or religion or their family. And other people, it takes much longer. And Rodney was in the latter case, and it took him a very long time to figure out what he wanted to do with the rest of his life, what the purpose of his life was going to be.
I would think that just the mere idea, and I think most people probably go through some extent of this, either full-blown or partial, where you say to yourself, I'm never going to be the man or the woman that I used to be. No matter what I do and no matter how hard I work, I can't get back to what I used to be able to do.
And that's true, and literally, Rodney cannot be the man that he used to be because he was paralyzed from the waist down. And it was a process of learning, number one, how to become independent, both mentally and physically. And people who do this for a living, who treat people in these conditions for a living, say that once you get into that independent state, you can have a very fulfilling life. it just took Rodney a longer time than probably most to recognize that. And that probably had a lot to do with the difficult circumstances that he was in, where he was living, and the opportunities, or lack thereof, in that place.
We will talk about that transformation, the transformation of Rodney Mason that Jonathan Shoupy writes about in his book, A Chance to Win, Boyhood, Baseball, and the Struggle for Redemption in the Inner City. We're going to pick this up in just a little bit. It's Bill Leff with you on WGN. It's Bill Leff on WGN, along with my guest, Jonathan Shoupy. Jonathan is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist who tells a great story in his new book, A Chance to Win, Boyhood, Baseball, and the Struggle for Redemption in the Inner City. Jonathan, in the book, you tell the earlier days of Rodney Mason and then the transformation that he made over time. In his earlier days, he had two passions, and those two passions were dealing drugs and playing baseball. They seem so diametrically opposed. How could you have a love of both of those things? Have you asked yourself that question? They just seem so different to me.
They are, and I actually not only asked myself that a lot, I went back to Rodney many, many times and said, how did you think that you could do both things at the same time? I just don't get it. I don't know if I ever really got an answer that, not that he was evasive about it, but just that I fully understood. And ultimately, the book tells the story of what ultimately wins out. I mean, when he was a kid, he decided that he wanted the money and the means to be independent financially more than to pursue a dream, and I think it was a legitimate dream, to play pro ball. He threw in the 90s as a 16-year-old.
Wow.
And he gave it up. He walked away from it because he was more attracted to being able to earn drug money on the street, one of the few opportunities that he had in life at that point in time. And then ultimately it flips over, and he decides very, very gradually that baseball, this time as a coach, is more important, and he feels much more fulfilled, obviously, now.
For people who don't know, this story takes place in a very, very rough area in New Jersey, South Ward. That's a battle zone out there.
Yes, it's the place. Newark has a bad reputation, some of it earned, some of it unfair, but the place is that are among the worst include aspects of the South Ward of Newark, including at one time the place where Rodney lives. It was at one point an open-air drug market, essentially his entire block.
Did he have the respect, as he started this Little League team, did he have the respect of these kids and their families immediately, or is that something he needed to earn?
He earned the respect of people in his neighborhood just by virtue of his neighbors and his friends, because he's grown up there, lived there his whole life. They know his story. They saw what was in his heart, I believe, and they saw what he was trying to do. So even during the period of time where there was a bit of a rocky transition between bad and good, if you will, they saw what he was trying to do, and by and large, they supported him in one way or another.
I have to think, Jonathan, that for people in his situation, one of the things you're looking for is purpose. It may not be the number one thing, but it's got to be high up on the list. Did he feel that there was a fulfillment there, that he was passing his skill set on to a younger generation right away? How did that play out for him?
He felt, this is not something I don't think that he was feeling explicitly telling himself in his mind, but I think he, in retrospect, recognizes this, that by virtue of simply getting these kids out on the field and sharing with them the game that meant so much to him when he was their age, and the thing that for a little while at least kept him from the streets, that he ultimately decided that he is doing a good thing by sharing that, number one, the skills and the experience and knowing how to play this game, but also the fact that he is providing the same sort of guidance and positive guidance that he received growing up in that same neighborhood without a father himself.
And because part of his background, Jonathan, was a drug dealer, my guess is he was super sensitive to that sort of thing with the kids playing on the team. Was he seeing any kind of drug activity with any of those kids?
The kids themselves, no. Not that I know of. I didn't see any indication of it, and he never told me that he saw it. They were on the very young side. They were, if you want to draw a parallel, Rodney started dealing drugs when he was 14 or 15, and these kids were 9, 10, 11. So it wasn't like he was pulling kids off of the corner to keep them from dealing drugs. His goal was mainly to do something that he wished somebody did for him, which was to persuade them or prevent them from even going in that direction.
Yeah. And did you see, I mean, the word redemption is right there in the title, so we know right off the bat there's going to be some redemption. But just give me a minute. What did you see in him from those early days, from the troubled days of Rodney Mason to making a difference in these kids' lives? What did he become a whole different person, would you say?
I wouldn't say that he became a whole different person. I would say that he had a very gradual and, like I said, rocky transition. One of the points that I try to make in the book, and not just with Rodney, but with the city of Newark in general, is that the idea of redemption does not come easy. It's not a Hollywood process where all of a sudden a bolt of lightning comes down and you're a new person or you're a new city. You go through a process where you struggle with the demons in your head and in your past, and it's very difficult to shake them. And it's a transformation that occurs over a long period of time. And ultimately, Rodney is a new man, but at the same time, he still struggles with aspects of his past that keep him from being able to make the transition. One thing is having a criminal record.
Yeah, no doubt about it. What a great story Jonathan Shupe has written. It's called A Chance to Win, Boyhood, Baseball, and the Struggle for Redemption in the Inner City. What are you working on now, Jonathan? You got another book in the hopper?
I'm just enjoying the moment right now, having accomplished this. I have some ideas that I'm pursuing, but nothing worth talking about at this point. And I'm a working reporter as well for NBC's news websites, including NBC Chicago, I might add. And I'm focusing on that work right now.
Well, keep up the good work. It's a great book, and the timing couldn't be better. You got baseball season just starting, so good for you. Thanks so much for being here, Jonathan. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it, too. Thanks for having me.